Today's reading comes from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. So the reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. But John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up to you to heaven, will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, growing up, I never put too much thought into what we call the ascension. We really didn't talk about that much growing up in the Baptist church, and I mean, we knew about it. And I really never thought a whole lot about it. But then I was thinking as I was preparing for this sermon about how in our own creed, look where most of the lyrics, the lines are at. We believe in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the Gospel of Luke. Born the Virgin Mary, okay, that's Luke, Christmas story, right there in one sentence. Suffer under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, that was Good Friday. The third day, he rose from the dead, that Sunday morning. And then it says, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And so, you think about it, spent a couple months doing all these sermons about Jesus, and yet in our creed we hit his divine conception, his virgin birth, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and here it is makes a reference to his ascension and to his second coming. In fact, we have a beautiful stained glass window over here to my left and to your right that shows that. And so I want to take a few moments to talk about what that means for us. Why is this important? Now, you'll notice that I did not read from the Gospel of Luke. Luke did not mention this in his Gospel. But now he's making a sequel. Oh, I saw on Facebook this weekend, a lot of folks went to the movie theaters and saw a sequel to Top Gun. Don't know how much they enjoyed it. Well, that's what Luke's doing. He has written a sequel to the book of what we call Luke. He said, this is what Jesus did while he was on earth, and now I want to tell you what he continued to do through his disciples. And he said that Jesus appeared to them alive, giving many convincing proofs. In other words, this isn't blind faith. This was some hallucination. This wasn't where they ate too much last night and had some crazy dream. No, I had a dream about Jesus. This isn't like we have in our country, you know, when if her comes running in and said, I think I saw Elvis, no, down the Dollar General, Elvis sighting. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about there was actual proof. They spoke to Jesus, saw him, touched him, and knew it was the risen Lord. And he said he did that for 40 days. You know, in the Bible, 40 days comes up a lot. You know, the flood is described as being 40 days, 40 nights. You know, the people of Israel were in wilderness for 40 years. Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And so at one point, Jesus appears to them in Jerusalem and says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't you go anywhere. I mean, that sounds like something you tell your kids, right? Don't you go anywhere. Why? Because remember what John the Baptist said? John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. But one is coming to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why in the Methodist Church, we have that cross, that little flame. That flame represents the Holy Spirit. And so they got together on the mount, we know from their scripture, and said, Lord, is this time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, all right, Jesus, is this the time you're going to kick out the Romans? We're ready. And then Jesus says something that has popped a lot of balloons. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has said by his own authority. Oh, back in the 1830s, you had a civil groups rise up, and they knew that Jesus is coming back any time, on a certain day, a certain time. And they were wrong. And I remember back in high school, being in class 2000, Y2K, and a lot of folks saying, oh, the world's going to end on Y2K, December 31st. And I remember being home watching CNN as they're doing fireworks over in Paris and London. I thought, well, so far, so good, right? It hasn't gone. They're still going on, you know. And then I remember a couple years later, he had this false teacher named Harold Camping. Remember him? Said, the world's going in on this date, you know, and you better donate to my ministry. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. If it's going to end, you know, you ought to have fun with that money. And then I remember on December the 12th, 2012, at 12:12 a.m., I sent a text to my friends. I said, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you. And in case this little my encounter thing works out, though, it's been fun knowing you. Remember that? The world was going to end on December 24, 2012, because the my encounter ended on that date. Now, the reason that calendar ended on that date, because all calendars end somewhere on a date. Every so many years, somebody comes along and says, I know when the world's going to end. I know Jesus is going to come back. But Jesus himself says, it is not for you to know the times or periods. So anytime somebody tells you that, you mark that on the calendar, it's not going to happen. He says, what you can know is this. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, I want to talk more about that next Sunday when it's Pentecost Sunday. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, that's where they were at. Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That'd be like Jesus spoke to us and said, you're going to be my witnesses here in Englewood. And then you're going to spread out to Monroe County, Meigs County, and Polk County. And you get to all of East Tennessee. Then all of Tennessee, the South, the United States, North America, the Western Hemisphere, and all the world. Now, to me, it's like that old TV show, Bonanza. I know some of you have seen that, right? At the very beginning, remember that? You got that little flame in the middle, and it just goes across that map. That's how the gospel was. It started in Jerusalem, but spread out. And as he said this, they were watching. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, when I was younger, I probably thought that he just kept going and going. It's kind of like a balloon, right? Going, 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 you know. And I thought he literally went out of the sky, you know, went past the moon and stars and all that, you know. He was like a lost astronaut. But, you know, the problem is, though, when we read further in the book of Acts, we realize that Jesus isn't that far from us. He's not visible. We can't go out and look at him, but he can see us. Remember later on in the book of Acts, Stephen, the first martyr, is being stoned to death. Now, you think you're being stoned to death, you'd be filled with fear and trembling. But instead, it says Stephen's face was glowing, And he looked up and said, I see the Son of Man sitting at the right-hand side of the Father. For Stephen, that veil got pulled back, and he saw the risen Lord. And the irony was that one of the guys who was there holding the cloaks was a guy named Saul. And Saul probably thought, that's just a bunch of nonsense. He's just hallucinating. And you know what happened to Saul? He was going down Damascus Road, had some arrest warrants. He's going to arrest some folks, but he got pulled over, didn't he? And it wasn't the blue lights either. It wasn't the Inglewood cops. A light brighter than the afternoon sun shone on him, knocked him down. And he said, Lord, who are you? And the voice said, is Jesus the one you're persecuting? For Saul, the veil between heaven and earth got pulled back for a moment, and he saw the risen Lord. So we should not think of Jesus, the risen Lord, as way out past Pluto. I don't know if Pluto's planet anymore. They get reinstated. I don't know. I think he got kicked out, right? He's not out past there, but he is just out beyond our sight, the veil. And then we have two men dressed in white. Now, we've heard this before, right? You heard men in black. These are the men in white. Remember how at the empty tomb you had the two men ask a question? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, here they ask the question, men in Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into the heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In other words, as the song says, don't stand there grieving for the one you see leaving in like manner is coming back for you and me. And so for a few moments, I want to kind of unpack a little bit about what that means for us. Okay. Well, so what is Jesus doing right now? Well, we have to guess in Paul, in Romans chapter 8, okay, what he tells us. He says, he will bring any charge against us, God's elect. It is God who justifies. And who he is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. So Paul says in the letter to the Romans, Jesus is seated at God's right hand, and he's interceding. He is praying for you and me. Well, somebody says, well, I come from a faith tradition and when we get in trouble, we got a list we can pick from, and we can ask this person, that person, this saying, that saying to help us. And you know, it's one thing to say that all the saints, the angels are praying with us. It'd be something else that they're praying for us, and I'm sure they are collectively. But listen to what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy. Says, this is right and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires what? That everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of truth. What God's will? God's will is for everybody to get saved. And then he goes on to say, for there is one God, and there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. So Paul says, there's only one mediator. There's one person who can work between God and ourselves, and that's Jesus. Why? Because he gave himself as a ransom for all of us. And then the author of Hebrews, and it wasn't Paul, I think it was probably a guy named Apollos. No, he describes Jesus, how human he was, going through the trials, tribulations we go through. In Hebrews 4, it says, since then we have a high priest, great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. In other words, the author of Hebrews says, no, our high priest, Jesus, was human. He knows how it is to be mistreated, to be abused, Maybe not have enough money at the end of the month. He's been there and done that. And yet he did it all without sin. And listen to this, verse 16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace, how? With boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In other words, the author says, Jesus is listening to us. And so we go in, we want to go in to the back door and say, now, so-and-so, we talk to Jesus. No. We go with boldness and talk to Jesus directly. We can have a little song about that, right? Have a little talk with Jesus. And depending on your situation, you might have a little talk, you might have a long talk. I don't know. But he said, go with boldness. Why? So we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Okay. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose physically. Okay? Why is that important? Well, that's because that's how we're going to be raised. Listen to this. Okay? Paul in Corinthians says about how we are sown in weakness and raised in power. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all die, we'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishably, and we will be changed. From this perishable body, we must put on imperishability. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. World, death is your victory. World, death is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling the work of the Lord, because you know that the Lord and your labor is not in vain. Now, we sang a song a little while ago about sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. And the reason I like that song is because they stole some of those lyrics straight out of the Bible. Paul says our bodies are kind of like seeds, sown in weakness, but raised in power. And it talks about how our bodies, to those who are alive, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And then later on, in Thessalonians, he wrote something very similar. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive or left until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with the cry of command, with the archangel's call, and the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and are left will be caught up in the clouds together with him to meet the Lord in the air. So will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, what did the angels tell those disciples? The same Jesus and the same Mary see him leaving in the same manner he's coming. When he left through the air and went through the cloud. In his coming, Paul says, he is coming in the clouds of glory through the air. Okay? And those early Christians, a lot of them were nervous and scared, and they thought, what about our loved ones who died already? No, they won't miss out. And Paul had to comfort them and said, no, let me explain. He says, we who are alive will not get in front of them. Now, all of us have been down in the store. And so, for example, you go to the store, you got your groceries there, or maybe the Dollar General, and you're in line, and okay, and somebody cuts in front of you. Makes you mad, doesn't it? And you think, wait a minute, I was here first, get back in line. Well, Paul says that's not going to happen with Christians. He said with the Christians, the dead in Christ will rise first. What happens? They get a new body. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, he got a new body. So those who die in the Lord will be raised, and they'll have a new body. And they'll be the first ones in line to meet the risen Lord. Then those of us who are alive will be called up, And we'll be giving a new body. We'll be in the next group to come up. So you got Jesus, and then here comes the saints who went before us, and then here we come. Okay. And all that's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you know what a twinkle is, right? That's when you meet your loved one, that special somebody, and your eyes kind of glisten, sparkle. That's a twinkle. And all going to get started off, the trumpet's going to sound, right? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And it's talking about the cry of an archangel. And I don't know what's going to be said, but you may recall when Lazarus was in the tomb, the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. And maybe he'll say something like, children of God, come forth. And doing so in that moment, the dead in Christ will rise. So I don't know when that's going to happen. I'd be out of the cemetery. That'd be kind of fun to watch, wouldn't it? Or what did the song say? Grace are bursting, saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around. No. All the dead Christians rise, meet the Lord. And then here comes us, those who are alive. Why? Because the same Jesus who went up, while comes up, goes up, must come down. He's coming again. And so on this Ascension Sunday, let's be reminded of several things. One, let's be reminded we serve a risen Lord. Two, let's be reminded, what is he doing? He is praying for us, his loved ones. He's that mediator between God and man. He is praying and pleading on behalf. And then let's not forget, he is coming again. And when he comes, he's going to come in glory. Our loved ones who we lost the years, they're going to come with him. And then we're going to go out and meet him. It's just like when in ancient times, when Caesar would come to the city, the citizens of the city would go out to greet Caesar as he came in. In the same way, we'll go out and we'll meet and greet the Lord and greet the king coming back to his planet, to this earth he created. And Paul says, therefore, encourage one over these words. Church shouldn't be about doom, gloom, and despair. No, we did several songs that were kind of foot stomping. No, because we serve a risen Lord, and he's coming back. And so no matter how bad and dark the world gets, we know that the king is coming. He's coming back to claim us, to claim this world, to claim his throne. And that should be a smile on all our faces this Ascension Sunday. Thanks be to God. Amen.